A reading from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. And I will read first in my mother tongue, Spanish. Amados, amémonos unos a otros, porque el amor es de Dios. Todo aquel que ama ha nacido de Dios y conoce a Dios. El que no ama no ha conocido a Dios, porque Dios es amor. En esto se mostró el amor de Dios para con nosotros, en que Dios envió al mundo a su Hijo unigénito para que vivamos por Él. En esto consiste el amor, no en que nosotros hayamos amado a Dios, sino en que Él nos amó a nosotros y envió a su Hijo en propiciación por nuestros pecados. Amados, si Dios nos ha amado así, nosotros también debemos amarnos unos a otros. Nadie jamás ha visto a Dios. Si nos amamos unos a otros, Dios permanece en nosotros y su amor se perfecciona en nosotros. En esto sabemos que permanecemos en Él y Él en nosotros, en que Él nos ha dado de su Espíritu. Nosotros hemos visto y damos testimonio de que el Padre ha enviado al Hijo, el Salvador del mundo. Todo aquel que confiese que Jesús es Hijo de Dios, permanece en Dios y Dios en él. Y nosotros hemos conocido y creído el amor que Dios tiene para con nosotros. Dios es amor. Y el que permanece en amor, permanece en Dios y Dios en él. En esto se perfecciona el amor en nosotros, para que tengamos confianza en el día del juicio. Pues como Él es, así nosotros en este mundo. En el amor no hay temor, sino que el perfecto amor echa fuera el temor, porque el temor lleva en sí castigo, por lo cual el que teme no ha sido perfeccionado en el amor. Nosotros lo amamos a Él porque Él nos amó primero. Si alguno dice, yo amo a Dios, pero odia a su hermano, es un mentiroso. Pues el que no ama a su hermano a quien ha visto, ¿cómo puede amar a Dios a quien no ha visto? Nosotros recibimos de Él este mandamiento: el que ame a Dios, ame también a su hermano. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loves us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent His Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister who they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. This is the word of God. Let me tell you a story of a 4-year-old girl that lived with her mother and her sister back in the late 1970s. So this little girl's sister was already in kindergarten, but she was in pre-kinder, which meant that it was only half day of regular school day. Her mother had a job, so this little girl had to stay with her grandmother, who looked after her in the mornings until she was due to school. This little girl was a very picky eater, as some children tend to be. And her grandma tried to make her eat with just giving her her favorite foods. But the only real way that this little girl could eat and that her grandmother could get her to eat was to turn on the TV to her favorite program. And while she was mesmerized by this program, her grandma readily stuffed her food into her mouth. Mission accomplished. Mesmerized was and is the right word. The little girl loved this program, its songs, the puppets, and a little trolley. She came to love not only the program, but the warm and caring TV host she saw on the screen every weekday. So what was interesting about this particular situation, though, is the fact that this little girl didn't understand a single word of the program. She didn't understand the songs. She didn't even know the name of the man that she saw on TV. You see, the program was in English, and she spoke only Spanish. So she didn't understand the words, but there was something that she did understand. This girl understood the love, grace, and care this TV host transmitted to his audience, even if it was from a TV studio far, far away. You might have heard of this program and its host, and it's Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Mr. Fred McFeely Rogers, also known as Mr. Rogers, the host and creative force behind the program, was a Presbyterian minister ordained in the Presbytery of Pittsburgh to the recognized ministry with children and their families through media. His neighborhood was not only in Pittsburgh, but to millions of children and families across the nation, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was their own backyard. Mr. Rogers became not only a TV personality, but also a person they would come to trust, to listen to care, and even to love. And it is precisely love that is at the center of the scripture reading we had this morning. It is not a topic that is new to us. It is certainly nothing new to those of us who have been lifelong Presbyterians that have heard the sentence, God is love, so many times that we have lost count. This passage is well known to us, and a number of its verses is featured in prayers, in hymns, and in songs. So it is challenging for us to look at this passage with new eyes. Yet I invite you this morning to reflect with me on the words we heard from the elder in 1 John this morning, being aware of the fact that it is human nature that when one hears something so many times, for it to become so redundant, one might forget its true meaning, even if it's something as central to the Christian faith as God is love. The author of the letter knew this fact well. So we see a lot of repetition in that same passage. The growing church community at the turn of the first century that heard these words for the first time was facing difficult, divisive times. In a moment in Christian history when the church was still defining its core beliefs, sectors of the church began to question the core values of the faith that they professed. People rose up to question Jesus as Christ, Jesus as God incarnate, the nature of God's love, and how this love should be expressed in the community, among other beliefs that were central to the faith and the faith community. This sermon-type letter comes with encouraging words, an invitation to walk in the light and to keep the commandments, walking as Jesus walked. Constant reminders of the new commandment. Those who heard this letter for the first time were reminded that at the core of the Christian life is God's abundant love for us, incarnated in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and that is demonstrated by abiding in God and by loving one another with abandon and without fear. Carolyn M. Lewis states, central to 1 John is what it reveals about God and what it means to be the believer. The exhortation is the true Christian calling. That is the timeless message. What is, my siblings, that true Christian calling? I propose the answer lies in this very chapter. We love because he loved us. That commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Easy enough, right? Those were challenging words for the struggling first century Greco-Roman church. And they are also challenging words for our own, also in many ways, struggling postmodern 21st century church. And if we compare the first century church to the 21st century church, which is our own, with the days of Christendom at an end, we have more in common with that church in the first century that we may want to admit. Just taking a look at our world, at the news, and to our surrounding community, we wonder with the black-eyed peas, where is the love? The answer to this question, in light of what we read this morning, should be a loud and resounding here. Here in this church, in this expression of the body of Christ, in our community of faith, in our denomination, with us, here is the love. If we truly take to heart the axiom, love thy neighbor, that we profess, our love to God by loving our neighbor. There is no loving God without loving our neighbor. We are so good at contesting this. There is an entire parable used to teach a valuable lesson to a lawyer, an expert on the law, who was trying to get away with choosing who his neighbor was by asking, "But teacher, who is my neighbor?" Jesus taught him and taught us that the question is not who is my neighbor, but will you do as the Samaritan did and become a neighbor to others? We are the ones that are commanded to love one another. We are the ones who become the neighbors of others. So for the past year, my co-moderator sister Cindy and I have invited the denomination at large to engage in reading and studying the book Neighborhood Church, Transforming Your Congregation into a Powerhouse of Mission. The book, written by two of our own Presbyterian ministers, Reverends Kryn Van Tattenhove and Rob Mueller, contains stories of congregations that have come alive in their communities as they consider their call to be incarnational bearers of the good news of God's love and grace
in their communities, in the places where God has put them. The authors in the introduction to the book share the following thought that I share with you. Personally, how can we enflesh the values of love, grace, and justice? As faith communities, how can our collective embodiment of these values shine even brighter? The answers to these questions must always unfold right here, right now, exactly where God has planted us. It will happen in this place. So as we look back to our own personal and collective experiences with God's love and grace, where do we find those opportunities to respond in gratitude? Where do we find those opportunities to be living examples to those who come to believe? Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was broadcasted in syndication in PBS in the late 1970s, and it was part of the lineup of cable TV in San Juan, Puerto Rico, my hometown. I watched Mr. Rogers every weekday before going to pre-kinder, and to my grandmother's delight, I ate my entire lunch and even drank a cold, tall glass of milk while watching the program. And despite the distance, the physical barrier, even the language and cultural barriers, despite not even knowing him personally, for some reason, I just knew this man loved me. That was his calling and his ministry. At a time in history when children were ignored and told not to speak or not to share their feelings or treated as insignificant, he reached out to them, to us, through many obstacles in the way and in the place he knew that God had called him. Did he know of the children that he would reach by this program and his ministry? No, but he persisted anyway. His program let children know they were important, loved, appreciated. His program delved into difficult topics like war, racism, injustice, divorce, and many others that were considered taboo in TV at that time. Reverend Rogers, his doctrine of love and loving abundantly, of being kind and resisting evil, influenced generations of children here in mainland US and at least one in Puerto Rico. So as you continue to be incarnational bearers of God's love and grace here in your town, in the place and in the time that God has called you, and as we all continue to live out the mission God has entrusted to us all, may we cast away all fear. May we live into God's perfect love, and may we respond to our true Christian calling to love the Lord our Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our strength, and with all of our minds, and to love our neighbor, remembering that God first loved them too. Amen.